we did accomplish a lot. It wasn't a great year because greatness is championship, but it was a year that we went from 4-12 from 0-3, so really 4-15 to 11-5, and I think that says a lot about the direction that we're headed. And now we have to build on it. We've got to build on it and learn from our mistakes and continue to try to get better.
Sean Pendergast has a story in the Houston Press about fixing Bill O'Brien's popularity, his 3-point plan to improve B.O.B.'s popularity in the city of Houston, because the feeling is that while the team went 11-5 and won the division, people are questioning the head coach. Number one is something that Paul definitely agrees with. Delegate game management to a specific game management specialist so that there would be like accountability. Not even accountability, just someone to point to in case things go wrong.
I've always felt he's overextended. And as someone who has, from time to time in my own professional life, been overextended, I know very well how that can affect your performance in very small and minor details. And I imagine that O'Brien has to be told that this is a big problem. I don't know that he's been told that. I don't know if he realizes that perhaps he is a little overextended. But, I mean, think about what he is doing. He's the head coach of the team. He's in charge of the offense. And in the middle of the game, he has to go back and forth between thinking about what the next play is going to be, whether or not to call a timeout, when situationally would be smart to call a timeout, whether or not he might have to challenge a play. Also on top of that, when is he going to go for it on a fourth down or call a risky play on a third down, shot plays, all those things. That's a lot.
Yes.
And I understand that for a lot of people, they sit back and watch and they say, well, that's why he's paid to do those things. But for any one human being to do all of those different tasks, you are asking, I think, the impossible for them to do all of those things and do it to a very, very high level.
It's interesting because if you look at, you know, one of our themes this week has been looking at the teams that are playing on Sunday and what the Texans can learn. You know, Andy Reid, there was a good story in The Ringer this week about Andy Reid and how at the end in Philly, he kind of got away from play calling and the installs and the stuff that he really likes to do. And things kind of went wrong in Philly at the end. Obviously, he got fired. And I was one of those people who thought, man, why is Andy going right back into coaching? He just spent a long time in Philadelphia. Take a year off, he'll come back. So I didn't like him taking the Chiefs job right away. Well, in the article on The Ringer, they talked about how Andy Reid basically went right back to play calling. His philosophy was basically, I need to get back in the weeds on this. I need to really put my touches day to day on the offense. And that's obviously worked out. So I guess that's a little bit aside from like the game management special. I don't mind the idea of O'Brien having a clock guy or having someone specially designed. I think as far as the fans go, I don't know if that necessarily moves the meter all that much. I think it helps, but
I guess the curious thing with Bill O'Brien this year with the play calling was, especially at the beginning of the season when they were so horrendous in the red zone, where I wanted to cut him some slack was that they did a great job of moving the ball between the 20s. They were marching up and down the field at times and then just not converting in the red zone. And part of that can be on play calling. Part of it can be on the fact that you just don't have the horses. Because when it gets down into the red zone, it becomes very much a mano-a-mano situation where it's your best guys versus their best guys, particularly in the run game. And where he took some heat early on for not running it on fourth and short. Well, remember, fourth was first and goal. It was when they didn't convert on first and goal, that was where everything went haywire. We were flipping the hell out. They don't have the guys that can move the pile to actually convert in those short yardage situations. And even when they were running the ball well in the middle of the season, I still didn't trust their ability to convert in short yardage situations. So he was, I'm not going to cut him a huge amount of slack, but there is something to be said for him doing what he did this year offensively and as a team with really a lesser amount of talent on offense. It's not a talented offense whatsoever, other than your superstar, your very two best players in Will Fuller when he's healthy.
I think it's reasonably talented when they have their guys healthy at receiver, but that didn't really happen all that much.
Well, I guess let's think about that though in terms of just, it's very crude, but first round picks.
Yes.
You've got a couple of first round picks at wide receiver, and you've got a first round pick at quarterback. Am I missing one after that?
Well, I think that QT is much more talented than his draft stock.
Okay, but he's a first-round pick. I'm saying, just I said, like, a crew just objectively, and there's no way he would be a first-round pick.
Hopkins, Fuller, Watson, and after that, it is a bunch of guys.
Right, and there aren't that many guys. Okay, so you can...
Nick Martin's a second-round pick.
I'll see your point about Kiki QT, but largely, he's still purely a slot receiver body type and whatnot. Those guys don't get taken in the first round unless they're absurd. How many slots have you been taken in the first round in the last
You're usually
decade?
Looking at second or third round.
So, like, in terms of just... And again... But then, who are the guys that maybe have played their way into being first-round status on the offensive line? I can't think of any.
Nobody.
Right. So it's like, it's not always...
That's a very nice way of putting it.
It's not always first-round picks. Sometimes you have guys that you say, like Gronkowski, like, oh, wow, he should have been a first-round pick.
Yes.
There's not a guy like that. So when I look at the overall talent level, like, I've been as vocal and critical of Bill O'Brien as anybody here and burned bridges and relationships because of it. He's dealing with a half-full cup on offense right now, and we'll see where that goes with Brian Gain moving forward.
Number two in Sean Pendergast's plan to improve B.O.B.'s Q rating in Houston, give up play calling to somebody else on his staff. I think the idea would have been bringing somebody from the outside, because I think that would have been met with a round of applause from the fan base. But I think people would, if O'Brien did that, I think that would be met with approval. I will agree with that. I think it would be met with approval.
Yeah, I think that's the problem, is that that's not going to happen, right? Haven't we all sort of accepted that it's probably, if it is going to come...
I have not.
It's going to come from within?
Well, he did it with George Godsey. I mean, like, that's where, it's not like he's unable or unwilling to do it. I think you hit the nail on the head, Paul. It's going to come from within, and maybe that guy isn't there yet. That if Tim Kelly is your guy, then how come he hasn't become the guy already?
Right, because, I mean, I don't want to dump on McClain or anything, but remember, whenever we have asked McClain, all right, well, why isn't someone on the coaching staff doing play calling duties? He says, well, because no one's done it before. Okay, well, no one's done it before. Sean Ryan hasn't done it. Tim Kelly hasn't done it. That's supposed to make anyone feel better. And here's the sad thing. I mean, until we actually see this guy in action, we're not going to feel better about it. Like, there's no way for O'Brien to fix his popularity from that standpoint until the season's actually in action.
That's how I feel.
Now, I guess this is what my bigger question with this, because he has designated an offensive coordinator board. George Godsey was calling the plays. And you remember when O'Brien took the play calling duties back, he got kind of testy about it, didn't want to talk about it.
Yes.
But he also told CJ, remember what happened? He told CJ Fedorowicz before the game, be ready, because I'll paraphrase here, because according to CJ Fedorowicz, he said something to the likes of, just be ready, because I like throwing to the tight end.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, that game, CJ Fedorowicz started getting touches.
Yep.
And also became a better blocker because of it.
Yeah.
He's like a big man in basketball. You need a few touches, and all of a sudden he's playing great defense.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it made a difference. So that in that situation, it was better for Bill O'Brien to wrest control back from that. But my question with Bill O'Brien, and this is what I worry, and maybe it's a psychological obstacle he has to overcome, he's perfectly willing to hire bright young minds or experienced coaches on the defensive side of the ball. On the offensive side of the ball, have we seen a pattern of him hiring either his buddies from the college days or younger up-and-coming coaches and not necessarily veteran offensive line? I'm asking this open-mindedly. Mike Devlin is a veteran NFL coach, so that's against my argument. John Perry is a friend of his from way back in the Brown days. And I think John Perry's done a great job. He's the wide receivers coach. So like it's not an issue or anything, but I sometimes worry that is he too nervous about bringing in intelligent people from the outside, like veteran intelligent people?
I think it's a good open question because he did want to hire Mike Munchak before they...
That's a good point too.
They settled on Devlin. Settled. No offense.
I'm perfectly willing to be swayed on this. I'm just kind of asking the open-ended question.
Sean Ryan had a bunch of college experience, but he was with the Giants for a long time under Tom Coughlin before he got him in here.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. But my question, though, offensive with the staff sometimes
I feel
is,
better.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, my question is more like, do they have enough guys on the offensive coaching staff? Sometimes I feel like they need more numbers, like to what Paul mentioned a little bit earlier in the segment, that just to take a little bit off everybody's plate. Sean's third idea for fixing B.O.B.'s popularity, do more X's and O's videos with John Harris.
Problem with those is I don't think that people actually watch them unless they're seeking them out. Like the film, like the hardcore football fans, which can help and go a long way. Does he do them every week on HoustonTexans.com? I thought he did them pretty regularly with John Harris.
I think they are pretty regular, yes.
Yeah.
But it does, for whatever reason, the videos that you see on your social media feed, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, that are like live within the actual social media app.
Yeah.
I think people watch more often than like, hey, click here and watch.
Oh, dude, don't make me click twice.
Yeah, don't make me click twice.
It's the worst.
Embed.
It's the hardest thing humanity has ever dealt with. Is if I have to click twice.
It's brutal. It's like
Larry King approves of this statement. Larry King is like, listen, I grew up in the greatest generation. We lived through the Depression. We fought World War II and Korea. Let me tell you something. Nothing's worse than having to click twice. But that is how I genuinely feel. Don't make me click twice. You're right. So Sean's advice needs to be the HoustonTexans.com to just go ahead and be sure you have the embedded videos that play immediately.
Exactly.
So people are just going to see it and you can watch it and then there you go.
I do think.
And then product, the key is, okay, because HoustonTexans.com is going to ask us, Seth, Mike, Paul, how do I monetize that? Simple product placement.
Yes.
You got Bill O'Brien holding a Coca-Cola as he's doing the.
I like it. Sipping a nice Miller Lite or something along those lines. Yeah.
Bill O'Brien and John Harris cracking open a couple of cold ones.
Get a little Carbach in there.
Yeah.
Huh? Have Eighth Wonder.
Let's do Carbach because that's a Budweiser product. So it's consistent with my brand.
Yeah. Okay.